This morning's reading, as you can see, is from Hebrews chapter 4, and it's beginning at verse 1 through to verse 16, so the whole of chapter 4. It's on page 1203 of the Church Bibles. And just before I read, let me say a short prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for revealing yourself to us through your word, the Bible. As we look today at your word, we pray that we would be excited by it, that we would listen to what you have to say, and that your word would help to open our hearts to respond in a way that gives glory to you and only you. Amen. So Hebrews 4, starting at verse 1. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. Now we who have believed enter that rest, just as God has said. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet his works have been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words. On the seventh day, God rested from all his works. And again in the passage above, he says, they shall never enter my rest. Therefore, since it still remains for some to enter that rest, and since those who formerly had the good news proclaimed to them did not go in because of their disobedience, God again set a certain day, calling it today. This he did when a long time later he spoke through David, as in the passage already quoted, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him whom we must give account. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to feel sympathy for our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need.
Thank you, Vic, for reading for us. Good morning. My name is Simon. If I've not met you before, I'm one of the ministers here at All Saints, and it's great to have you with us. It's great to have lots of visitors here with us this morning. You're very welcome with us. As John was saying, we've been thinking here at All Saints on Sunday mornings about the book of Hebrews. And actually this morning, we're just going to think about a couple of verses from chapter 4 that Vic has just read for us. Now, to help us with that, I'm going to need some helpers. As we get started, our hands are going up already. Look at this. Can I have five helpers? Yeah, Esther, do you want to come up? Yeah, Declan, do you want to come up? Yes, yeah, do you want to come up? Yeah. Yes, do you want to come up? Yeah. We've got one more. How many have we got? We've got one, two, three, four. Have we got a fifth? We can have big helpers if little helpers don't want to come. Any more hands? Aaron, yeah, do you want to come up? Come on up. Great job. Okay. Come on up. Yeah. Guys, let's have a nice line. Stand up in a nice line. Super. Now, I've got some goodies for you to help and you're going to hold them up nice and high. Aaron, you're going to start. There's a pint of milk. Can you hold that pint of milk up? It's quite heavy, isn't it? Now, Isabel, can you hold the hammer? This is a real hammer, so we just be very careful with that hammer. Okay, don't hit anyone with the hammer. Now, this. Do you know what that is? Can you press the button on the end? Does it work? Yeah, let go. Let's see. Yeah, see if you let go. Oh, it does work. It does work. It's a torch. Hold it up nice and high so everyone can see. And what have we got here? Do you know what those are? There's some seeds, that's right. Hold them up. So everyone hold them up. Now, here's the question. We've got milk, we've got a hammer, we've got a light, and we've got some seeds. Now, what do all those things have in common? Does anyone know? Any smaller people know? What do they all have in common? It's a tricky question. Any of the grown-ups want to help us out? What do these four things have in common? We've got a hand at the back. Philip, do you want to, nice and loud? The pictures of the Bible, that's right. They're all different ways that the Bible talks about God's word. You see, God's word is like milk. It feeds us. Like a newborn baby enjoys milk. It makes them strong. It makes them grow. God's word is like a hammer. Actually, it breaks down our hard outsides. God's word is like a light. It shines a path so that we can walk following God's ways. And God's word is like a seed. It's planted in our hearts, and it makes us grow and brings life. But we've got one more. Esther, you haven't got anything in your hands, have you? We've got one more thing, and this is what we're going to think about this morning. You see, God's word is like a sword. A sword. Can you hold that for us? Hold it up nice and high so that everyone can see it. Now, I put the words back up on the screen from Hebrews 4 that we just read. See, God's word is like a sword. God's word is alive, and it's active, and it is sharper than a double-edged sword. That's a great verse. It tells us just how powerful God's word is, how special God's word is. And we're just going to spend a few minutes now thinking a little bit together about that verse. So, guys, thank you very much. You've done an excellent job. Do you want to put the bits back down there by the bag? I'm going to keep hold of this sword, this magnificent sword, and go and take a seat. Thank you very much. So, what about God's word? Well, the first thing that we're going to learn this morning is that God's word is alive. God's word is alive. But what does that mean? Well, it means that God's word, the Bible, is not like any other book. Now, I brought an old book of mine in from home. It's actually a really good book. It's about a guy called William Tyndale. Very exciting. Full of interesting details about his life. But do you know what? William Tyndale has been dead for the best part of 500 years. There's no chance that I can meet William Tyndale. Maybe one day in heaven I'll get to meet him. But for now, there is absolutely no chance of me meeting him. But that's not true when we come to the Bible, because actually in the Bible we get to meet with God. If you like, God's word, it never gets dusty. God's word never gets dusty. It's never old, because it's alive. Now, I don't know about you at home, whether you... Around the breakfast table, whether you read the Bible together, or maybe at bedtime, or maybe in a school assembly, or maybe it's just on your own at some other time in the day. But actually, Christians, we love to read the Bible, because we know that when we open up the Bible, we get to hear God speaking to us today and every day. And because God's word is alive, well, God's word is also active. It's powerful. It does things, if you like, to us. If you remember right back at the beginning of the Bible, the creation story, God speaks, and what happens? Things just come into being. And when God speaks today in our lives, well, his words still have that same power. They can actually change us. They have the power to make us new, to grow us, to make us strong. It's like the milk that makes us grow. It's like the light that shines a path for us to walk faithfully with God. So God's word really is alive. That's the first thing we're going to see. The second thing I want us to see is that God's word really is very sharp. God's word is very sharp. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. Now, this might be a little bit less familiar, this idea about God's word being sharp. But what does it mean that God's word is sharp? You see, the thing with double-edged swords like this one is that there's no... Oh, it's not that sharp, is it? There's no blunt side on a double-edged sword. Is it sharp on both sides? Now, I wanted this morning to bring in a great big metal sword, but I thought that if I cycled in with a huge sword on my back, well, it might not go down very well. I might well get arrested on Friargate. So I thought that was probably not the best idea. But what I have got is the sharpest knife in our kitchen. And now we know, don't we, when... Right, I've got a chopping board as well. When it comes to sharp knives, we know what they're good for. So you take a knife and we plonk it on our chopping board and we get our apple and we cut straight through. And it cuts in two right through to the core. But if we try to do that with the Bible, God's word, it's not very sharp, is it? If I've got my apple here, there's not a lot I can do. With a Bible when it comes to cutting the apple. The best thing I'm going to do is get some apple juice if I keep whacking it and whacking it for long enough. So how can God's word be sharper than anything else? Well, God tells us his word is sharper because it's only God's word that can cut right through to our very core, right into our hearts. See, if we look at the next bit of that verse... God says that his word, it penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of our heart. It means it gets right down into the tiniest corners of our lives, into our soul. And it tells us what we're like. It shows us what our hearts really are like. Now, if you've ever tried to work out what's going on in someone else's heart... It's actually really hard to do, isn't it? We can know fairly well what people are thinking, what they believe, what they're like. But actually, we can never really know what's going on in someone's heart. But God can. And he sees it. See, in the Bible, our hearts, they're if you like, the very deepest center of our lives. They decide what we think about, what we care about, what we believe, what we love, what we want, how we treat people. And ultimately, how we treat God. That's what's going on in our hearts. And the problem with our hearts is that actually our hearts are full of stuff that's not very good. Put your hand up if you've ever bitten into an apple and found that it's all brown inside, a worm has crept in. Yeah, it's horrible, isn't it? It's disgusting. And there's a picture of our hearts. Often other things, if you like, they worm their way into the very heart of who we are. And actually, they turn us a little bit rotten. And we love to make other things more important than God. So we sin and we lie and we forget who God is and we push him away. And we behave like he's not really good or not really in charge of the world that we live in. Which is why it's so amazing, isn't it, that God speaks to us when we open up his word. He speaks to us in the Bible. He shows us right into the heart of who we are and he tells us what's good and what is a bit rotten. And so the question that we need to ask is, well, when God speaks to us, when he shows us what our hearts are like, is, well, what are we going to do? How are we going to respond to God? And we're going to think about that question a little bit more in a moment. But, well, when we read the Bible, we find that actually people, they do one of two things when God speaks. The first thing that people often do in the Bible is that people hide, or they try and hide. They run away, or they put their fingers in their ears because they don't really want to listen to what God has to say about them. They tell themselves that God won't notice, or he just doesn't care. Maybe they even stop trusting him altogether. But the thing is, we can actually never hide from God. He knows every single thing about us, all the rotten bits of us. And one day we're going to have to answer to him for those things. That's exactly what the next verse in your Bibles, if you've got them, verse 13, it's what it says. Nothing in all of creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. And actually, if we think about Bible stories that we know, we can think about this as all the way through, isn't it? Adam and Eve, what did they do? They didn't listen to God. They knew they were in the wrong, but they tried to hide. It didn't go very well. I wonder if you know the story about a man called Achan in the Battle of Jericho. Maybe less familiar. God said, don't take anything from Jericho, but Achan didn't listen. Took some silver, some gold, a lovely robe, and he dug a big hole under his tent, and he put them in the ground, and he hoped no one would notice. But of course, God knew what he'd done. Then there was David, a great king, but actually he did some pretty terrible things. He did a pretty good job of covering them up, but he could never cover them up from God because God knew David's heart. And of course, Jonah, if you were here for our holiday club, you'll know all about Jonah. Remember what he tried to do? He heard God's voice and he ran away. He ran away, but he didn't get very far before God caught up with him because God knows what's going on in our hearts and we can't hide. Sometimes we try, don't we, to do that. We pretend that actually we can cover up things, or maybe we just get distracted by other things and we start walking after them. Other voices speak to us and we listen to them instead of listening to God's voice. Maybe at school for you or at work, or maybe just with friends. Actually, being a Christian, it can feel difficult sometimes, and it's easy to want to sort of run away. Or maybe in your heart, you're finding that what you want is other things at the moment, things that you want more than God. So maybe we can find ourselves putting our fingers in our ears, trying to ignore God's voice, trying to ignore the fact that he's really there. And that's really dangerous, actually, because soon we can start heading off in a totally different direction. So we can't hide from God. Nothing is hidden. In all of creation, every street, every field, every little corner of our hearts, our minds, our lives, God made all of it, and he knows every inch of it. He knows what's going on, and we can't pretend that he's not there. Because one day we will have to give an account, as it says in that verse, to God. We're going to have to give an account to him for our lives. And so don't try to hide. That's what Hebrews 4 says. But hold on to God's word. Don't hide, but hold on to God's living word. You see, the truth is God's word is amazing. It really is amazing. It gives us life. It feeds us. It helps us to walk in the right way. It's full of promises. You see, listening to God's voice really is the only way to live properly. Now, in Hebrews, we've been hearing over the last couple of weeks all about how God wants his people to learn from mistakes that they've made in the past. Do you remember the Israelites? They came out of Egypt. God had promised them wonderful things, a beautiful land full of milk and honey. God's going to be with them. But they grumbled and they moaned and they didn't listen, and they got to the land and they said no to God. And because they'd disobeyed and rebelled against him, well, quite rightly, God was angry with them. He judged them. And what happened? They died in the desert. They didn't get into the land. As Christians today, we're given the same warning, aren't we? We need to listen to God's voice. We need to trust his promises and obey him. And actually, we're looking forward to something that's even greater than that land. We're looking forward to an eternity with God and a new creation. Jesus, he died for our sin, he rose from the dead, and he shares that new life with us now, and he's gone ahead of us to prepare a new creation for us to live in and enjoy with him forever. Actually, as we walk towards that new creation, he's given us his spirit to help us to trust him, to put our confidence in him, and all we need to do is to keep listening, to hold on to the promises that he gives us. And you know, here at All Saints, actually God has given us each other as well, hasn't he? To help us to keep listening to God's voice. He's given us parents. He's given us junior church leaders. He's given us growth group leaders. He's given us growth group members. He's given us a whole church family to help us to listen together. So what's the most important thing we can do? Well, we can help each other to hold on to God's living words. We can pull fingers out of ears. We can show each other how amazing God is. And we can be honest together, can't we, about our hearts. Children, whenever and wherever you open up your Bible, remember that actually when you do that, you get to meet with Jesus. You get to meet God himself, the one who made you and the one who loves you. And actually, he's just delighted when you come to meet him and hear from him. And he knows all about you, and he cares about your hearts. And parents, if our children are out in the world, then they're hearing all sorts of voices, aren't they? Every day they're hearing voices that say something very different to God's voice. And actually our responsibility, with the help of his Spirit, is to keep leading them back to the voice of the living God. That's our job. See, only his words cut through the dead promises of the world around us and offer life. That's exactly what John and Rachel were saying this morning, and Al and Sarah too. And it's the same for Andrew and Sarah, and it's the same for all of us as a whole church family. Each week we want to encourage the children in our church family to keep walking with the Lord Jesus, to listen to God's voice. Actually, we can do that, can't we? We can support parents. We can, even in very simple ways, ask the children, what have you been learning? In my experience, children don't bite, or at least not very often. We don't just need to talk to them about school or about football or whatever. Actually, no, just tell them why Jesus is amazing. That's our job as a church family, to help our children see that Jesus is amazing. See, God's word really is alive. It really is sharp. And here at All Saints, that's why we keep God's word right at the heart of everything we do. It's why it's good for each one of us to be reading God's word every day, if we can. Because when we open up our Bibles, we meet the living God today. We hear the living God speak today. He shows us what our hearts are like. And he does that so that we can see our sin and we can bring it back to him in prayer. That's exactly why Jesus came. He calls us to follow him into that glorious new creation land forever. You see, the word of God is alive and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. So let's hold on. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you for your word. Lord, thank you that you speak to us today as we hear your words. Lord, that is so precious to us. Help us to not forget that. Help us to not ignore it. Lord, help us to trust in your good words to us. And help us as a whole church family here to love one another well with your word and to point one another well to your voice. As we come under it week by week, Lord, help us to grow in our love of your word together. In Jesus' name, amen.